This is the Game Misconduct Podcast with Don LaGreca.
And welcome to the Friday edition of Game Misconduct. I am Don LaGreca. I decided that it's a little too early to do a top five. We're not even out of October yet, so I'm going to hold off on that. But there's still a lot to discuss. Before we break down the games from last night, a couple of bit of items that we should mention, and that, of course, is the Pinto 41-game suspension. You know, he's working on a deal with Ottawa, not playing, and now negotiations have completely gotten flushed down the toilet. I don't know what his future is going to be. He's a good player. If you remember when we did the season preview with EJ, and he was talking about how high he was on the Ottawa Senators, but one of the reasons that he didn't go like full bore on it was because of Pinto's status. He's a good player, and you just can't like throw out, well, you know, even though he's out, I still feel good about the team. You don't know, because there's still a lot up in the air as far as his status. And now it's crazy. And I hear there's a lot of people accusing the NHL and sports in general for being hypocrites, because they're in bed now with gambling. And there was a picture of Pinto, and I guess the sponsor for the Ottawa Senators on their helmet is one of the gambling sites up in Canada. So it's like, oh, what hypocrites. You know, he's got a gambling site on his helmet, and yet he gets suspended 41 games. Well, rules are rules. I mean, just because these sports are now in bed with these apps and gambling is legal doesn't all of a sudden give you carte blanche to just do what you want. Now, I do think it's silly that the NFL's got a rule that if you bet on games outside of the sport you play at the facility, you're subject to suspension. But if you do it in the privacy of your own home, it's okay. I don't know. There's a line that just seems to be blurred by the relationship with these apps. But at the same time, it doesn't necessarily mean that they're hypocrites. There's money to be made through the sponsorship with the gambling, embracing the gambling. But that doesn't all of a sudden mean that you can now bet and violate whatever rules your sport has. I mean, I always think it's ridiculous where they go, they should let Pete Rose back into baseball because now gambling's legal. No, it does not absolve what Pete Rose did. First of all, gambling was illegal when he did it in the 80s, and it's always been a rule in Major League Baseball that if you bet on baseball, especially betting on your own team, even your own team to win, that you're subject to banishment. And the NHL, we still have not gotten, at least at this recording, which right now is at 12:46 Eastern Time on Friday, the details in which Pinto did it. Apparently, it was the investigation showed that on his computer, some red flags came up. So what was the amount of money that he was betting? Was he betting on teams from the Ottawa area? I don't know what red flags came up, but apparently it was enough to be able to issue a suspension, and he must have known the rules, violated them. So I really don't see how this is being hypocritical. Just because there's a relationship with gambling does not necessarily mean that you now have carte blanche to break the rules. So I wish I had a little bit more information on it. I don't. But the one thing I do wish is that people would stop throwing out the hypocrite card, really just on all sports, not just the NHL, because they're in bed with these gambling. You knew it. I knew it. I said it to everybody at the time that gambling was going to become legal, is that it's really going to open up a Pandora's box as far as the influx of cash that these sports are going to be able to take advantage of. I mean, everybody thinks, well, you only bet on football. Everybody bets on everything. And now they've made it just so easy for you, and it's such a cash cow for these sports, they'd be ridiculous to ignore it. But at the same time, it doesn't necessarily mean that you should now be able to go and gamble. I can't, if I were doing the Jets pre and post when this happened, I wouldn't be allowed. They'd be frowned down upon. I probably would get fired if the Jets found out that, like, before the pregame, I was going to the FanDuel place over at the Meadowlands and placing bets. No, there's certain relationships that are just understood. And you're a player, you're a coach, you're a manager, whatever, you work for a team, you can't bet on the sport. And for whatever reason, the rules are, if you want to bet on other sports, don't do it at the facility. Follow rules. That's it. It's like what's happening with the Michigan scouting scandal. Yeah, it just seems silly. I can't go buy a ticket to an Ohio State game and scout them, but it's a rule. if you violate the rule, then you're going to get in trouble with the NCAA. You know, hate the rule, but don't all of a sudden absolve the people that decide to break the rule. We do not live in a society in which you can pick and choose the rules that you like and don't like. I like that rule, so I'm going to abide by it. I hate that rule, or I think that rule's stupid, so I'm going to do what I want. That's not the way the world works. A major hit from Clutterbuck in the Ottawa loss to the Islanders last night as he was taken off the ice on a stretcher. I didn't have a problem with the hit. It was along the boards, but I didn't see it was boarding. He had the puck, so I don't look at it as interference. I don't really see that there's anything, any discipline is going to come to Clutterbuck. It was just an ugly situation in which he went down. It looked like almost a whiplash situation. He kind of came down on the ice around the shoulder, just below the neck, and his head seemed to kind of hit the ice or just snap back. So hopefully he's okay. Did not look like a good scene at all.
The injury update from the Senators communications team last night was that Eric Brännström is alert, had use of his extremities, and has been transported to the local hospital for further evaluation. Your typical update in these types of situations, but I guess better news than
right
than the alternative.
So there's where we stand. Thank you, Anthony, for that on what's happening with Brännström in the Ottawa situation. All right, let's go to the games from last night. There were a slew of them, very interesting contests. And there's a bunch of reasons why you don't bet. One of the reasons you don't bet is what happened in the Tampa Bay Buffalo game last night. But, you know, that we'll talk about that maybe on the Michael Kay show today, but that's the NFL. But in the NHL, like, who would think the way Pittsburgh was playing that Pittsburgh would be the one to snap Colorado's 15-game road winning streak? Pretty incredible.
Not me.
Right? You know, and 4-0 to boot. I mean, the Avalanche, with all their firepower, get shut out as they lose to Pittsburgh 4-0. A couple of goals for Smith. Crosby gets his fourth of the year. It's pretty interesting, right? And Sidney Crosby is fascinating. We spend so much time talking about Ovechkin because he's the one that's now 70 goals away from tying Gretzky, 71 from breaking Gretzky's record. But Sidney Crosby is just so amazing. And I know a lot of Ranger fans, Devil fans, Islander fans here in the local area, and I'm sure Flyer fans or anybody else in the Metropolitan Division kind of doesn't want to love the guy because he's Sidney Crosby. He's so good, and you know, he's been known to flop, and he's been known to dive, and he's been known to get in the ear of the officials, and he's just so damn good. I can understand why maybe a lot of people don't like him, a lot of fans don't like him, but damn, he's good. He just continues. As he's getting older now, you get to the point where you're 35, 36 years old. He still continues to produce. He was able to fight through all the concussion situations. And even what has been a kind of a tough start to the year for Pittsburgh, there he is with his 4 goals, still gets his points, and still is able to maintain his relevancy. Pretty incredible stuff that's going on. And even Pittsburgh now with Letang and Malkin still with Pittsburgh. It's the longest tenure for 3 players on the same team, and even surpassed what was going on with Posada, Jeter, with the New York Yankees. So pretty incredible those 3 have been able to stay together. It doesn't feel like Pittsburgh is that much better than last year with the addition of Carlson, but still, we're still very early along in the season. Bruins, and again, why would you bet? Would you ever think that the Bruins' first loss would come at home against the Ducks? Would you think it would come when they were up 3-0? Did you think it would come when they were up 3-1 with less than 2 minutes to play in regulation? No way. But they get a couple of goals late, tie it, win it in overtime on the McTavish goal, and Boston suffers their first loss of the season, although they still earned a point. Carlson, the 18-year-old for the Ducks, he got his 2nd goal, made it 3-2. That came with a little less than 2 minutes to play. Moments later, Terry gets his 2nd to tie the game at 3. McTavish gets the game winner, so the Bruins no longer undefeated as well. So Colorado's done. The undefeated streak is over. Boston still has a point streak, but they've lost their first game, so all that's left now is what the Vegas Golden Knights have been able to do, a perfect 7-0 to start the season. I'm a David Quinn fan. Anthony will tell you that. I thought he should not have gotten fired by the New York Rangers. I was glad that he hooked up with the San Jose Sharks, but damn, the Sharks are not good. 0-6-1 to start the season. They were killed by Tampa last night by the final score of 6-0. Johansson, another shutout. He's got 23 on the season. Things are happening in Philadelphia, and I bet them to beat Vegas when I put together my 16-leg parlay for the Frozen Frenzy, and they had a lead going into the third period, ended up losing that game of regulation 3-2. So they haven't been perfect by any stretch of the imagination. Lost to Dallas, but they came back with two late goals in that one to earn a point. Took care of the Wild 6-2. So they have really played well. Travis Konecny's been their best player. He has got six goals on the season, so that was really, really an impressive game. Hurricanes, God, the NHL didn't do them any favors by having them start out west, but they finally were able to return home, come back from 2-1 down, beat the Kraken in overtime. Natchez with two goals, including the overtime game winner for Carolina. 45 shots on goal for the Hurricanes in that contest. Speaking of a lot of shots on goal, Senators had 47 of them in that 3-2 loss out on the island. So Sorokin was terrific. But they just could not come up with the equalizer, pulled the goaltender late. Didn't matter. Horvat gets a goal. Clutterbuck gets a goal. And despite blowing a 2-0 lead on goals by Chikrin and Giroux, Dobson gets the game winner for the Islanders. Leafs beat the Stars by the final score of 4-1. Four different goal scorers for Toronto. Tavares has had a nice start to the season. He's got four on the year. And now we go to Alberta, where like Alberta's on fire right now. I mean, the Flames get shut out by the Blues by the final score of 3-0. And we were asked, I want to punch it up here when I'm taking a look at Twitter, because we're going to be very interactive today. We want to be able to try to get as many tweets in as possible and be as interactive as possible today. But somebody had asked me about whether they made a mistake in the coaching decision in Calgary. I don't know. It's very, very early. Huska's not a bad coach, but they're just not very talented. I mean, that's what it really comes down to. You know, Anderson's got suspended, and you saw it perfectly on the 4-on-4 during the course of the second period back on Tuesday. We mentioned this on Wednesday, that you just see how much more talented the Rangers are. So there's just not a lot there. You know, they've lost a lot of good players over the last few years. Johnny Gaudreau probably being the first one that pops to mind. So they're kind of in a transition period. I know they won the division a couple of years ago. They were a late exit last year from the regular season. They hung on till the very end and then eventually missed the playoffs. This looks like a year that is going to be lost for them. So I'm not going to say that they made a mistake with the coaching change. Sutter obviously had to go. For a myriad of reasons, he had been there a while, and it looked like he just ran his course. It's still very early, but I just think it's more of a talent problem in Calgary than it is any kind of coaching problem. However, with the Edmonton Oilers, you just wonder if Jay Woodcroft is somebody that might be on the hot seat. And you could say, wait a minute, Don, they went to the conference final 2 years ago, second round last year, went to a game seven. They've had more success in recent years than they've had like in the last 20. But they look like a mess. And don't tell me it's all because of Crosby being out. They look like a mess when they had Crosby. The only game they've won was that 6-1 win against Nashville. Otherwise, it's almost been non-competitive. They just couldn't handle the Rangers last night. And it wasn't. And the Rangers played well. It was a good road period, a good road game for the Rangers, and they're 3-0 on this five-game Western swing. But they don't play any defense. Their structure is just a mess right now. And the Rangers just took over in the second period, and that was it. And good for Jonathan Quick, too. I just want to mention he's now 2-0 as a Ranger. Grew up a Ranger fan in Connecticut. He's going to go to the Hall of Fame. He's got three Stanley Cups, two of which, you know, he was really responsible for in Los Angeles. He's got 377 career wins. No American goaltender has more shutouts than him. His 59th shutout last night cracks the top 20 all-time. So I think Quick's going to go to the Hall of Fame. And what looked like it was just kind of give you a goodbye, get a chance to play for his old team. The win against Seattle and the win last night against Edmonton kind of shows you that he might be a real legit backup for this team. He won the job during training camp. Rangers have always had a nice staple of good quality backup goaltenders, going back to Talbot, going back to Georgiev. I don't think Igor Shesterkin wants to play 70-plus games. But going into the season, the feeling was, well, could Quick handle playing north of 15, 16 games? Well, at least early on here, he's been able to take care of it. He's played two of the first seven games, won them both. He's allowed just one goal. He's made three appearances. Remember, going back last week before they left on the road, they got beat up by Nashville. He came in to replace Igor in the third period, went 9-for-9 save-wise in the third. So he has been really good for them, and I know Peter Laviolette's got a lot of confidence in him. Looked like he was only going to play the one game against Seattle on the five-game road trip. Now he's gotten a chance to play two. I'm sure it'll be Igor the rest of the way in Vancouver and Winnipeg, but you feel like maybe Jonathan Quick has got something there. But Edmonton just looks like a mess right now. Connor McDavid's going to try to push to be available Sunday for the Heritage Classic, which our buddy EJ Raddick is going to be calling for international TV. But that should be a lot of fun. They're doing it in October instead of, you know, late in the winter when it's going to be freezing. It's still going to be cold up there. But you remember that first one with the Montreal Canadiens and the Edmonton Oilers. Something I did not remember. I heard it on the radio on the NHL Network on Sirius Satellite Radio. Craig Button, friend of the show, was on, and he mentioned it, and I had forgotten about it. I wonder if Anthony Pusick remembers, being a big Ranger fan, that when they had the Heritage Classic in Edmonton between the Canadiens and the Oilers, I remember that was when Jose Theodore had the toque and it was cold. It was 2003. That's 20 years ago. That's why, you know, the anniversary now. That they had a alumni game the night before. And Glenn Sather gave Mark Messier permission, who was still an active player with the Rangers at the time, gave permission for him to go out to Edmonton to skate with the Oilers in the alumni game. I had completely forgotten about that. I don't know if that was on your radar at all, Anthony. But if
the
you
early 2000s
all,
were fun.
I know, but and you were young. But I'm just saying that it just
would never happen today. Tell you that.
No, and you would understand it not happening today. I mean, I know it's an alumni game and it's kind of like patty cake. But can you imagine if he hit a rut, went down, injured his knee? Now, the 2003 Rangers weren't any good. And at that time of the season, they probably weren't going to the playoffs, but, you know, he's your captain, and you let him go. But listen, Sather understood. You know, he was responsible for building that dynasty in Edmonton. He got it. He probably understood. Mark probably begged him to go. But you're right. In 2023, I'm just trying to think of the comp of, like, who's right now an older, former Flame or Oiler playing someplace else that you would allow them to leave and go play an alumni game on Saturday night. I can't imagine that it would ever happen.
Jágr. Yeah. Get him out of the Czech Republic. And
who was that you said?
Jágr.
Oh, yeah. Well,
he could play for the Flames, right?
I guess. Yeah, he did play for the
By
Flames.
By definition.
Yeah, he only played. The funny story is that the reason he played for the Flames is that he had never played for a Canadian franchise. For all the teams that he jumped around to, he never played up in Canada, so Calgary gave him the opportunity, and so he just wanted to be able to check that box. I thought that was kind of funny as like the reasoning for it.
It's a good puck doku.
Yeah, it is. Well, Jágr is like the go-to guy, right? Yeah, so I can't think of a comp, but it's still pretty pretty cool that happened. So that Heritage Class is going to be coming up there. But getting back to the original point, upper body injury for Connor McDavid, he's going to try to fight through it and see if he can at least play. Because he's the best player in the NHL, right? And it's a big thing up in Canada, the Heritage Classic, and to not have him play would really suck. So, but I also hope for his sake and for the Oilers' sake that he's not rushing back for it. It's still early in the season. He's too important. Nobody's going to throw dirt on the Oilers because of a bad start through the first seven games. But still, 1-5-1 is ugly. So hopefully he'll be cleared to play, and he'll play because he's okay, not just because of the fact that he's just desperate to go out there and play. All right, let's hear from you. At Don LaGreca, hashtag game misconduct. Adam wanted to answer the question I asked back on Wednesday about how you felt about the frozen frenzy. And Adam said, I hope the frozen frenzy can happen multiple times a season. Just wish Barry Melrose hadn't had to leave ESPN, but I bet you loved watching it. Yeah, it was pretty cool to be able to see it. It would have been even better, obviously, if you were able to get The face of NHL hockey at ESPN, even when the NHL abandoned ESPN, outside of when he left to go coach those 16 games with the Tampa Bay Lightning, Barry Melrose has always been there. He's a fixture, and it kind of just sucked that he's not a part of it, and we wish him the best of luck with his retirement, and of course his fighting with Parkinson's that forced him into the retirement. So just a great guy. Got a chance to work with him a few times over at ESPN. As a matter of fact, if you go to YouTube, you'll probably find some old videos of hockey previews that I have done with him. Just a terrific, terrific guy, and I'll miss him around the rink. Nick says, hey, Don, do you know what happened to ESPN Plus highlight show In the Crease? I watch that every morning for my hockey highlights. Any advice on other highlight shows besides the NHL Network, which is great, but not offered on YouTube TV? Oh, that's a good... I don't really know any place else that you can go. I'm not even sure what the background... I don't know if Anthony knows what happened to In the Crease. Maybe it'll get picked up a little bit later on during the course of the season. I know the Point is also a really good show, but that's more of a preview show. The NHL Network not being on YouTube TV sucks because that they do the best job with On the Fly and NHL Now and all that. And I'm not just saying that because I work there or that, you know, our friend EJ Raddick works there, but they do a terrific job. And, you know, Canada does a great job as well, but, you know, unfortunately here in the States, we don't get access to that because they've got tons of shows on TSN and Sportsnet, but none of them that you can access here in the States. Tim says, is Benoit Allaire the best goalie coach to ever do it when it's all said and done?
Yes.
He revived Halak. He revived Quick. He has his hands on two Vezina Trophy winners with Igor and Hank. Quick looks like he's refreshed off the Conn Smythe win. Listen, Benny is tremendous. I mean, there is nobody better. And Benny... correct me if I'm wrong, Anthony, has survived how many coaches, right?
Rennie, a lot of coaches.
Tortorella, A.V., David Quinn, Gallant, now getting a chance to coach with Peter Laviolette. And they're all smart because they know. They all bring in their own coaches. And some of them don't want to mess with the goaltenders. But why would you mess? He is the best. He's done, and that's a great point by Tim. I should have mentioned it when I talked about the great pedigree the Rangers have had with their goaltending and their backup goaltending. That's all Ben. Benoit Allaire is terrific. He's such a funny guy when on the road. He's such a personable guy. And he'll talk to you. He still has that thick French accent. And he's always interested in you, always says hello. I could see him on the bridge level for home games and traveling on the road. I'd see him at the hotel or hanging around the game. And for whatever reason, I never asked, I never pried, he will not do any interviews. I figured that he'd be a perfect guy to talk to during an intermission because he's always up there in the press box or for a preview, and he won't do it. And the reason he won't do it is not because he's a jerk, is just that he doesn't think there's a reason to interview him. Like he's such a humble person. So every once in a while, I'll joke around, like outside the locker room when I'm in the room trying to do interviews after the morning skate, and I've got my microphone. And I'll see Benny and I'll stick the microphone in his face like for a quote and he'll just laugh. He's just such a great guy. So, yeah, good job, Tim, for bringing that up.
Tom Rennie on.
Yeah, Tom Rennie on. Right. So Tom Rennie
2004 on.
Yeah. So he has been there for 20 years and he's got that job for as long as he wants it. Oh, look, Sir Harvey Cruz, who was our board up last night for the Rangers-Oilers game. Steve Young said, we don't get a true sense of the NFL teams until Thanksgiving. So when do you think we get a true sense of NHL teams, and how long will Vegas be undefeated? Well, it's a great question, Harvey, because what is that line? Well, I guess the line, and it's interesting that, you know, Steve Young said Thanksgiving. If you look, we've talked about this a lot on the podcast. It's changed a little bit recently, but it still holds pretty true. That teams that are in the playoffs on American Thanksgiving, and I say American Thanksgiving because it's a different date than Canadian Thanksgiving, usually still make the playoffs. Like, so it shows you how difficult it is to move. So if you get off to a good start and you're in the playoffs by the time we get to December, then you usually do enough to be able to stay there. So, but it usually takes that long to figure out who you are. That's why sometimes you get exposed in the postseason, right? Because you were able to get a bunch of points when you really weren't sure who you were. Then you get exposed in the second half of the season, but you compiled enough points to still make the playoffs. So, I for me, you know, especially when you got new coaches, you see what's happening with the Rangers, right? They've had some up and downs. What was it, the first four games of the season, they alternated wins, and now they've won three in a row. That tells you that maybe they're starting to get bearings on the new system, where teams that have the same system, same coach, have at least, unless they have injuries, a better chance to kind of get started and stay. I kind of, like, I didn't want to do the top five today because I still think it's early. I feel that once you start getting to Thanksgiving and teams get past that quarter pole and you start to get to the 20-game mark where you start to really feel like, all right, now I kind of figure out where you are. Because by the time you get to December, if you're still, oh, they're still working on the system, or they're still trying to figure out the power play, or they're still trying to work out who their starting goaltender is, then you're probably not that good of a team. So I would say whatever the date it is, by 20 games, that's enough of a sample size to say, all right, I think that team's pretty good, or I think that team's awful. So if Edmonton is, now Edmonton's played 7 games. They're 1-7-1. So if over the next 13 games they're playing the same way, then I'd throw in the towel and say, you know, maybe you need to make a coaching change or this is not going to turn around. But still a little bit too early. So I'd say the 20-game mark for me. Joe says, hey, Don, I'm enjoying the team so far. I never thought I'd say I like the 1-3-1, but they needed a system. Bread has Laugh cooking. Once we get Mika, Kako will follow suit. Thoughts? Yes. People got to realize, whether it's the left-wing lock, 1-3-1, the trap, it came out of necessity back in the dead puck era with the expansion teams that didn't have offense, so they figured, well, we're going to try to win games low scoring. But when the Canadians did it, when the Red Wings did it back in the day, and they had offense, you can counterpunch off of these systems. And the Rangers have enough firepower to where they don't have to be a bore fest. Now that you look at the Islanders, they don't have the firepower, so that's why everybody accuses them of being boring. Rangers have the firepower to counter off of this system, create turnovers, get odd man rushes, which we see a lot here early in the season. So I'm with you. Lafreniere, 4 goals in his first 7. Panarin, second longest streak to start a season with a point. He's got a point in all 7 games so far this year. Hedl's been very good. He didn't score last night, but he had 5 points in the previous 2 games. You know, Kreider's going to get his 35-plus. Mika's going to start to warm up here. Still gets assists, even though he's not scoring any goals. No, you got to be pretty happy with what Peter Laviolette has done here. I love the hire. I think he's brought structure. And I got to tell you, the way things may end up going here, when you see what Lafreniere has been able to do, and when you see how offensive they've been and the structure, this may not age very well for Gerard Gallant. You know, everybody was wondering, why'd you fire him? You went to the conference final his first year. You made the playoffs, finished in third place second year. All right, you got upset by the Devils. Big deal. There was a lack of structure. There was a lack of direction. And some players were dying on the vine. They were. And, you know, Kako hasn't warmed up quite yet. But Lafreniere is playing terrific. Benito's been a terrific addition for them, blocking shots and doing all the things you need a fourth-line center to do. Tremendous amount of production out of the blue line. They got, 3 points from defensemen last night. Schneider with 2 points. Fox scored a goal. Getting production from the third pairing, too, which is kind of crazy. And he deserves a tremendous amount of credit. He's a good coach, and I think you're going to start to see over time that they made the right decision on the coaching change for sure. There's no reason this team should have been in the situation that they were in last year, and I think they got it right. Give Chris Drury a lot of credit. He admitted that there was a mistake being made, that he made a mistake, and he was able to correct it, which is pretty awesome. Bobby says, what do you make of the Devils' start? Not solely on the record, but the way they've gotten there. Seems like they're confirming that they have the talent to outperform a lot of mistakes, but are still committing too many. Also, do you think Hughes could crack 150 points like McDavid? I got to tell you, you look at the start. What is the stat now? He's got, 15 points in the first 6 games?
He's got 17 points.
17 in the first
six games.
6 games. which is the most since Mario Lemieux in the 95-96 season.
Is that good?
That's very good.
That's good.
So, but you make a good point that they bail themselves out a lot because of how offensive they are. But when you look at that Washington game, they came back from 3-0 down. They played Friday was god awful from start to finish. They played terribly. All right, I don't know what it was. They get back late from Montreal the night before, whatever. They were the only, them and Washington. That was the only game. So they were the only teams that had played the night before. It was the only game. And Washington was good, jumped out 3-0 lead. Devils score 4 unanswered goals, 4-3. Okay, you think you're great, and then bang, what ends up happening? The next 3 goals are Washington's. You end up losing the game 6-4, whatever it is. You know, Hughes was great, but Hughes sometimes tries to do too much, and he turned the puck over on what turned out to be the game-winning goal. Because they can fight through it. They're so tremendously talented, especially with Hischier healthy now and Pratt and Mercer. They're stacked with talent. But their goaltending, I still don't think, is very good. And they sometimes get a little full of themselves and they forget their own structure. And the offense isn't always going to be able to bail you out. Washington's not a great team. There's no reason that team should have put a 6 spot up on you. Vanacek has not looked great. But boy, we talked about it with EJ Raddick back on Monday. And again, I don't want to be disparaging. We talked about it a little bit, Carpy, too, of the Verbeeks and the Kirk Mullers and the John McClains and certainly Patrick Eliash. This kid is just so immensely talented. And when you start, anytime you're doing something and the first name that pops up is Mario Lemieux, that's pretty amazing stuff. He's just been machine scoring-wise. But the Devils overall, it's not going to be enough to be able to make any kind of run. You still got to have structure. You still got to play defense. Your goaltender still has to play great. So we'll see. And you're also, to answer the question, can he crack 150 points? Sure, he's got the talent to do it. But there's a reason why it doesn't happen very often. There's only a handful of guys in the history of the sport that have been able to go over 150 points, and all of them are Hall of Famers. All of them. You know, Lemieux and Gretzky and Esposito. Those are the kind of guys to do that. You know, so you're going to err on the side of, you know, there's going to be lumps. There's going to be times where the points aren't going to be there. In all likelihood, it's not going to happen right away, which tells you if he's on pace to do it now, that means there might be a lot of games where he comes up empty. And are you able to win when that happens? Also, for Jack Hughes, stay healthy. Play 82 games. I mean, that's going to be important, too. If you're going to put up those type of stats, you know, you can't, you know, throw out your shoulder and miss 2 weeks. And things are going to happen. I get it. I'm not saying he's injury prone, but you do see the way that he plays. He's not scared to go up the middle. He's not scared to go to the boards. He's going to get hit. He's diminutive in size. He's not large. He's not big like Mario Lemieux. And the physicality, you know, forced Lemieux to retire earlier than he wanted to before he decided to make his comeback, right? Gretzky was so elusive, it didn't matter. They're going to get you. They're going to find a way to find you and nail you, and you don't want to get hurt every time that happens. And it'll be interesting to see whether he can keep up this pace. But he is a hidden gem. You know, New Jersey isn't one of those national teams, gets talked about a lot. They don't get talked about a lot in the New York metropolitan area. But you start having a conversation. Honestly, this could be a fun conversation on the Michael Kay Show, Anthony, at some point, of when you talk about the best. Like, if you want to go the top 5 athletes in New York sports, just off the top of my head, I don't know how you don't put him on that list.
Friend of the show, we got to get him back on.
We had him on as a kid. I swear to God, it was like a 12-year-old walked in. He had acne. I mean, the Devils drafted him first overall. They brought him into our studio. Michael was off. Peter and I were in the studio together. And Peter's like, oh, my God, this kid is so young. And I said, yeah, but he's immensely talented. And fast forward a few years later, and he's one of the best players in the league. But if we were having that conversation, Anthony, you know, obviously Aaron Judge would have to be there. Certainly Igor Shesterkin, what he's accomplished, winning a Vezina trophy, would have to be a part of that conversation. You know, basketball-wise, Brunson, certainly Randall. I don't know if there'd be a net that you would throw in there. Football, I guess.
Garrett Wilson and Saquon.
Garrett Wilson, Saquon Barkley, Quinnen Williams.
Quinnen Williams is a good one too, yeah.
Sauce Gardner. But as far, but I will say that it's two different conversations, and not everybody loves hockey the way we do, Anthony.
No.
But, like, Sauce Gardner is a terrific player. He's not going to captivate you, because part of the reason he's so great is they're not throwing in his direction.
Well, it's a position thing, for sure.
But, you know, to watch Jack Hughes play, I mean, it's just fun to watch him play. It just is. And he's up there with the McDavids and the Draisaitls and the McKinnons and the Matthews. And I think he's in that conversation now. I do. And you talk about New York sports. I can't really think. Pete Alonso would have to be in there as well. But Jack Hughes may not get a lot of votes because it's hockey and it's the Devils. But if you're really honest with yourself and you love all the sports and you watch all the sports like Anthony does, like I do, it would be very, very difficult to leave Jack Hughes off of that list. So enjoy the weekend. I'll have the call tomorrow of Rangers and Canucks. That's game 4 of the Rangers' 5-game road trip. So I'm looking forward to that. So I will talk to you on the Michael Kay Show. I will talk to you on Monday. We'll have EJ on, and we'll dive into the whole weekend, find out how things went at the Heritage Classic on Monday. On Sunday, that's going to be on TBS for everybody here in the state. So take a look at that. I know it's Sunday. I know it's football, but it's 7 o'clock. So you should be able to – all the 4 o'clocks might be over by then. And before we – the Sunday night game is putrid. I mean, the Sunday night game is – what is it? Bears-Chargers, right?
That's right.
You know what? Watch the Heritage.
And if you watch the Rangers last night, the visual is beautiful of what the stadium looks like already, because they showed a visual of it last night.
And we also, if you read the book from Kenny Albert's book, and he mentioned it last night during the broadcast, Anthony, in that stadium, Kenny Albert kicked a 15-yard field goal.
Wow.
Now, I wouldn't brag about that. I mean, that's from the 5-yard line.
That's right. Like,
but still, I mean, I kicked like a 25 yarder at the Giants facility.
I remember that all going
years
down.
Ago. That was a lot of fun. But because he mentioned that what they did when they were in the bubble during COVID in Edmonton, they would get in a van and they would drive across the street. The stadium's not that far from where Rogers' place is now, and they would drive into the stadium so that the media and all the people that were in the bubble could exercise, because they had a track there and they can walk around and get some exercise in, because they didn't want them walking around in the city, obviously, because it was the bubble. And so he said he kicked a 15-yard field goal. Mika Zibanejad also is a very good field goal kicker, from what I understand.
He's got a lot of talents.
Because he's a big-time soccer player, so... Listen, we derailed here, but you know what? That's what we do on this podcast, because we talk hockey and we love doing it. So we will be back with you again on Monday with EJ Raddick. Want to get in touch with me at Don LaGreca, hashtag Game Misconduct's the way to do that. Enjoy the weekend. Some warm weather coming up here on the East Coast. Should be a lot of fun for people to kind of get like an extra extension of summer before all of a sudden it's going to start to turn cold and the regular season gets a little deeper. So we'll talk to you again on Monday. This was the Friday edition of Game Misconduct.
This is the Game Misconduct Podcast with Don LaGreca.